Om Shanti. This topic has been something I've really enjoyed churning. I'm someone who generally churns from the intellect as a first instinct. But of course, Baba is inviting us to churn from both the head and the heart, so that it's accurate. So, what I did was I actually went to my instrument teacher, and I just sort of showed him some of the notes that I'd made, and he kind of surprised me. He was like, "Can one really create a pure habit?" I was like, "I believe so." But then he brought up the idea that when we're deities in the golden age, we're not in habit, we're just being. And so right now in the confluence age, we might create these sort of habits to help us get there, but ultimately the goal is to surpass, I think, habit, and to really just become who Baba wants us to be. So this churning is going to reflect, I guess, some of the goal, like where we're headed to and what we're really seeking to create to go beyond habit, and then just the sort of practical of being in the confluence age and having to create these habits to get there. So something that I was thinking about is that even in the Lokic world, habits are like, everyone has habits, you know, whether you have negative habits or positive habits. But really, the only positive habits that one can have are the ones that Baba inspires in us, the ones that Baba helps us create for ourselves. But in terms of sort of everyday Lokic habits, you might have a swimmer who is superstitious and feels like, you know, he has to run home and put on his special socks, because if he doesn't wear them for the next, like, 6.5 hours, there's no way that he's going to win the swim meet, right? And so we see that even rituals are habits, because they're really just containers for us to sort of organize our samskaras, right? Organize our memories. And so coming into Baba's knowledge, we're forced to create these new habits. Like, I don't know about you, but at least like 1.5 years before I came, I was making all these really strange decisions. You know, my friends would look at me like, "What's happened to you?" I was like, "Oh, I kind of want to be a vegetarian. I don't actually want to go to that party. It seems kind of boring, you know?" And so it's interesting how I feel like it's Baba's purity is influencing us in wonderful ways to change the way that we're behaving. But in terms of habits in general, it seems like it would all be so much simpler if we just had total faith in who it is that Baba tells us that we are, so that, you know, one didn't really have to create the habit in the first place. It was really about just embodying the virtue or the specialty that Baba says that I am. And in order to do that, one really has to look at, I guess, their willpower and their willingness to renounce. Like when Baba talks about renunciation, tapasya, and seva, really, the seva that I'm trying to do here, or that I'm choosing to do here, I'm willing myself to do, is to become who he says that I am, right? And when I'm doing self-service, I'm doing world service, right? And so if I was able to just focus on renouncing whatever it is that I need to renounce in my life so completely, doing that process with Baba, with love, you know, then I would be able to be in this beautiful sort of partnership with him that would really help me, even if I didn't like embody what he wanted like immediately, right? It would really help me create a very strong, powerful habit that would help me along my journey in becoming that deity that Baba tells us that we are. And so that was something else I was really playing with this journey, is the aspect of constant love and how he's the one who gives us that constant love if we're willing to take it and if we're willing to call on the self-respect to recognize that we deserve it, recognize that we want to sustain it, and really appreciate it. And I guess the way that one can really do that is moving past, or like looking at the patterns of our habits internally. So sure, I think a certain way and I feel a certain way, but when I can move past that and start to look at my attitude, rather my vision first, then my attitude, and look at my awareness, I think that those places hold, they tell us more about ourselves and more about the Maya that might be holding us back from acting in a way that we know is beneficial for us. So, for instance, right, being soul conscious, like, I was speaking with someone and she was saying how, I think she's been in Gyan for quite a number of years, and of course years don't necessarily matter in this game, but in terms of experiences, I think years totally matter. And she was saying how, like, I think it's after maybe 15 or so years, it's only now that she's delving into soul consciousness and recognizing that she didn't get it at all, like, all these years before. And yet soul consciousness is that, like, that's what we want our awareness to be, right? Soul conscious awareness, that we can have soul conscious practice, that we can be. And so when I was thinking about that, it really just sort of, I guess, humbled me, and also at least allowed myself to take some pressure off my back, because everyone grows at their own speed. But then at the same time, Baba says, don't work according to capacity, right? You know, we really do have to focus on trusting him and building that relationship that, again, sustains these habits that we create along the way. But something else that I wanted to discuss along with that was... I think the idea of deep silence when it comes to creating a habit that will be stable and will last. Because I think one really, really needs to be content with the self, and I think that comes from having deep, deep silence in meditation. As if I want to sustain a habit, I myself have to be constant, and the only way to create that constancy is if I'm totally content, or at least as close to being totally content as I can be. And that's something that happens again in the relationship with Baba, and deep silence and being able to carry that with the soul throughout the day, because it's that I guess stability with the self, that trust that allows one to sustain a habit, and then the habit moves past what it is, right? It's just a way of being. Like, you know, we get up for Amrit Vela, right? It's one thing to get up and observe the practice. It's another thing to truly benefit from it. And the beautiful thing about that, again, is bringing up that idea of world service through self-service. Because, you know, I mean, if I was just to tell someone that I generally wake up at 3:30 to meditate every day, they'd be like, okay, you know, like, why don't you just do that in the afternoon? But if you embody the benefits of Amrit Vela, then they'll sort of, I think, emotionally, like energetically, they'll connect the dots. They'll be like, oh, okay, well, tell me more about that. Why do you do that? You know, is it why you're so, like, relaxed? And so we really see how just embodying these practices really strengthens the soul. Something else I was really interested in looking at was the connection between karma, dharana, and dharma. Because something might, at least for me, I know when I'm creating a new habit, if the soul is able to bring it into action, I feel much better about whatever it is that has been created. I feel more like I have faith in myself. I feel that I can continue this. I really am these virtues, these powers that Baba tells me I am, which is a sort of more gross sort of initial state. But the more that we're bringing these sort of, I guess, intentions into our actions, I think the more they reflect that dharana that Baba is asking us to cultivate in ourselves. And then the more that we're adhering to this dharana and diving deep into what that looks like for myself and what that looks like for Baba, you know, who he envisions me as in terms of the way I act and choose to behave, then I'm creating my status for the golden age, which is beautiful, right? You know, when he speaks about how we have to make sure we're not just providing for ourselves, but for 21 generations. You know, it's quite a tall order. And so if one is able to really just take on Baba's guidance and help, we're able to create a really wonderful status for ourselves and for 21 generations. And then in turn, seeing how easily we're able to pick up on these sort of habits and understand what it is that Baba's saying in his knowledge and these experiences in yoga, and how easily it is for us to imbibe these sort of virtues that reflects our stage to us. And that's the thing, right? Like, you know, like, if Baba's not my teacher, drama's my teacher. So immediately I know that something's off anyway, right? So it's just very beautiful how the knowledge or this path, this pilgrimage really is here to help you and support you in creating those habits and in you surpassing those habits and moving beyond them. And something else I was looking at was this idea of intention, like good intentions. It's something that, you know, everyone knows that saying, like, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And again, this is something that came up with the discussion with my instrument teacher. The idea about good intentions and what they really like mean, if I intend to do something, like how pure is that in comparison to, again, that willing to do something, that renunciation, that tapasya. You know, just really looking at the plan for creating, let's say, this new stage, right? If I'm looking at my thoughts, my words, my actions, and I'm making sure that I'm being totally accurate in how I'm applying everything, then I guess it's more of a question for everyone here. Is that the soul moving beyond intention and really creating something that's very powerful with Baba? Because when I think about myself and good intentions, I think about, you know, it's shaky. There's doubt in that. I intend to do something. You either do it or you don't do it, right? Maybe you've intended to do something and you get stronger along the way. But even still, it's not like it's been a constant, accurate, totally faithful effort. Like when Baba talks about the rope, you keep making these knots in the rope and then you undo the knots. So it's still a rope. It's not like you cut it and split it in two. But you know, how strong is the rope now, right? Because of all these knots that you've made, it's weak in some areas. And so again, just that idea of good intentions, you know, is that, I guess, is that enough of a power, enough of a force to get one to the final destination? Any reflections?
All the points. If you follow that, the habit would become a sanskar. Or
okay.
It would turn into a habit.
Okay. I think one like first step.
So always be taking to habit. Create any constructive habit.
I think first thing is to have a strong visualization, and that's something one could visualization in meditation with Baba. Because as you're doing that, if you're honest, I guess, with him, he'll be helping you to sort of craft the picture, the image of what it is that you need to do or become. So that's the first step. I think the next step is, I guess, putting pen to paper, or really just setting up a time where you will do this thing. I think one of the most helpful things is to do something immediately when you say it, just to put it into action, and then to be consistent with that in, let's say, your daily routine. I think next is listening to feedback from the drama. At least for me, I find that when I'm creating a new habit or I'm working on a new way of being, I'm getting a lot of feedback from the drama. And if I'm not humble and patient enough to listen, then I'm going to deceive myself in how I build that habit. So we have visualization, we have action, putting pen to paper, and we have listening to feedback.
What do you mean by
Okay, so let's say I'm creating this habit and I have a sort of idea about it. Maybe there are some gaps in how I was seeing it, in whatever it is that I feel I want it to be, that I guess drama sort of helps me with seeing. So for instance, like once I was churning this sort of aspect of knowledge, and something that just kept popping up in drama was the seed. I'd see a seed, or the seed, like that word would be in front of me. And it's just this sort of pattern that you're seeing as you're walking and moving around. I think listening to those things are quite important, because it's something that's coming up from like a subconscious level to sort of help guide you, because maybe in cultivating the habit, you are missing an aspect. And that's the other aspect, right? Destroying the habit, the negative habits that we've carried with us, right? So that we can fully embrace the pure positive soul that we are supposed to be. So in destroying those habits, it's like what Baba says about having a clean intellect. I think that's a huge aspect of destroying those habits. Yeah, that's completely true. We do have to burn our sanskars. And so a huge aspect of that is having the power, the courage to face, right? The honesty to see what it is, and then choosing to face it. And that's a nice balance between, I guess, creation, sustenance, and destruction. Being firm on the fact that we really do need to destroy old aspects that we've brought into Gyan, that we've sort of morphed into Gyan, you know? Like attachment doesn't end just because you start to say that I'm not going to my mom's cooking or something, you know? You know, it really is a process of delving deep into why we hold on to these things, what we're getting from them, and how we can make ourselves get these things from Baba instead. And understanding even just the sort of illusion that we're holding on to. And then that's something that also very much helps with imbibing a strong habit, is being willing to let go of the past and move into a new future. And the time is like 5:28. So I pause. food things more. So then, you know what? We'll focus on this destroying old habits. When it comes to affirmations in creating a new habit, I think we need to make them. We need to move past the affirmations. Like, rather, if we could churn the affirmations to really recognize how they benefit us. You know, it's one thing to say, I am a Shiv Shakti, right? But, thumbs up, thank you. But we need to understand what that means for me. What are my strengths? You know, what are the specialties that Baba's given, and how can I constructively use them to prove to myself that I am that? And then the more I prove that to myself, then the more easily I'm imbibing these habits. So affirmations are quite important. Self-hypnosis. Oh. Okay, I think once I heard you speaking in class about that, like you were talking about the man who just sits in the chair and he's repeating these things to himself. And then the visualizations helped him change the way he was seeing a situation in his life. That's true. Very, very powerful self-hypnosis. Negative self-talk. You know, yes. And I think it's also very important to, like, alongside that, to recognize our warrior sanskars, because we really do need to battle with Maya. Although the merging aspect is so beautiful and so natural, like Baba says, right? Like, effort, why are you making it so laborious? It really is easy. At least in my experience, I have made effort quite laborious, and I do have to, although I'm focusing on that love, I do have to recognize that warrior sanskars, like standing my ground with Maya, being ever ready, being cautious, watching for where she's trying to change the way I'm thinking. Like, Madhupan's beautiful for that because everything's amplified, right? And I was having this experience where I was doing a lot of projection on others internally. And the beautiful thing is that I got the chance to sit in meditation for like 6 hours in the total of the day. And so I think even just the length of time kind of helped to slow down the mind so that I could see what she was doing. And when I did that, I realized that it was a self-respect issue personally for me. And so I would just be walking around and just little things that, you know, someone wouldn't think was something that was negative or, you know. But then I'd be like, why did you do that? That wasn't in your self-respect. And it was just a little thing that would allow me to continue to sabotage without me consciously being aware of it, right? So then what benefit am I getting from Madhuban if I continue to self-sabotage? And so that's the beautiful, I think, marrying of where we give our warrior sanskars that platform, that go-ahead to do what they need to do, right? And then we're also giving time for that silence to just be calm and listen, you know? Om Shanti.